Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. My name is Matthew, Medium Matthew. Welcome to the Psychic Show. There will be no phone calls accepted tonight. We have a pre-recorded show for you. This is a pre-recorded show from Patricia Reed. It's about love and sexuality. Please enjoy.
Blog Talk Radio.
You know when you gave your love away, it opened your heart. Everything is new, and you know time will always find a way to let your heart be.
Welcome once again to this psychic roundtable. Tonight we have a very different show for you. So for those who are tuning in, as they say in that movie, The Mask, hold on to your tailpipes. It's time for an overhaul. Now, what we're going to be doing tonight first is I'm going to say hello to a few people. And these people are linked with the home website of the psychicroundtable.org. And these are under the recommended sites to visit. First one is Andrea Perrone. Andrea Perrone is a sweetheart of a lady. We've had her on here a couple of times, including the last radio show, which turned out to be, we're not too sure exactly what happened, but we thought it might have been Blog Talk's fault, but now we're not so sure. Apparently, towards the middle of the recording or the show, it just started to make some strange sounds, so we had to stop it early. But we left the show on there because Andrea Perrone requested us to do so. But she wrote the book House of Darkness, House of Light. And the movie coming up, and it's supposed to be a blockbuster hit internationally, called The Conjuring, is based upon her book. So definitely check out Andrea Perrone and check out her website, houseofdarknesshouseoflight.com. It's a pretty cool one, too. Deborah Jacobs and her communication with Archangel Michael. And we also like to say hello, big shout out to Donna McGrath. Good luck. I think she's having a big radio show tonight on another with Al up in Boston. I don't remember his last name. Do you, Patricia?
Yeah, that's Al Cole.
Al Cole, thank you. I could just feel the ruler coming down on my hand right now going, and I'm going, ow, shit, ow, sorry. And also, I want to introduce somebody tonight that many of you out there do know already because I've spoken of her many times, but Patricia Reed is an author, and I consider her to be celebrated. She has a website which she's going to tell you about, and she has energy transmissions where she tunes directly into God and gives you an unfiltered, un-ego-attached energy transmission that in some cases she has found that has been felt by people around the world and they have no idea where it came from, and somehow they finally get through to her and she says, yeah, that was something that I performed, but it wasn't because of me. So they have signed up for her energy transmissions, and they felt life getting better for them because of that. So on that note, I'm going to pass it on to Patricia Reed. Take it away. Okay, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm not going to let you
talk
now.
What's that?
I said, I'm kidding. I'm not going to let you talk.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead then.
Oh, thanks a lot. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
You are going to let me talk. That's what we do, right? It's Blog Talk Radio, isn't it?
Ouch! Oh, wow!
Okay, well, thank you, thank you, thank you for this introduction and for letting me talk. Yes, my name is Patricia Reed, and I am a spiritual teacher, first and foremost. I am also an author. I have one book out currently called The Space Between, which is available on my website, which is energetic-mastery.com/the-space-between. That's where you can actually go and find my book. And the book is really my own personal journey through enlightenment, all the trials and the wonders and the miracles and magical things and getting introduced to my guides and learning how to communicate with them and actually hear them and get divine guidance. And the whole process of that with the ego just kind of disintegrating and wow, does the world seem to turn upside down in this whole process? And so the book is in part my own story and in part channeled lessons. That is currently the one book I have out at the moment, although I am working on a couple more right now, too. But, yes, again, my website is energetic-mastery.com. I am also a healer. I am a practitioner of half a dozen different types of healing modalities. Among them are NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, theta healing, reconnective healing, TFT, which is thought field therapy, which is a meridian tapping technique, and also EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which is another meridian tapping technique, and Reiki. And actually, the person I learned Reiki from is one that you mentioned in the beginning of this conversation, which is Donna McGrath. She was my teacher for Reiki. She taught me all her good stuff here. Well, probably not all of it. So these are all the modalities that I have been trained in. However, I have also since developed a modality of my own, which I do call energetic mastery, and it's very much channeled. It integrates a lot of what I learned, what I was guided to learn in all these other modalities, and it integrates all of that with some things that I was taught or reminded about by Yeshua. We think of as Jesus. Yeshua came to me. The story about that is actually in my book. And he reminded me of another method. I've had a few other guides show me some other things to do for healing. And,
Okay, so let me, that is energetic mastery. Okay, cool. So let me jump in here and say a couple of things to these folks out here, and then we'll get started on some very serious conversations, serious meaning haha. One of the things we're going to be discussing tonight is going to require that our audience be over 18 years old. So the settings on this show are going to be mature. Why? Because we're going to be talking about some very mature subjects, and it's going to be pretty funny, too. So keep your seatbelt on. What's she talking about? Also, yes, a very big shout out to Donna McGrath as well, once again. And also, keep in mind that her website, once again, is www.energetic-mastery.com. And mine or ours or teams is psychicroundtable.org, the one with the badge on it. And believe me, folks, when I say they've earned it, they've earned it. They are really good at what they do. It'll be kind of scary if you actually take the challenge and get to them. By the way, also, if you go onto psychicroundtable.org, please donate to us. We are trying to build a website where people can come to us and they can do a paid reading for as long as you like, and you don't have to wait for 5 minutes on the show and be cut off by yours truly. So, on that note, first thing I want to find out from my good friend, Patricia Reed, how in the world did you meet? Because when you talk about meeting, I'm thinking you're talking about like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Shake my hand. Okay. But in your case, it wasn't quite like that. How did you meet your guide? Yuteshwar is his name, right?
Yes. I have a few guides. many, many guides, apparently. However, one of them is Yuteshwar, Sri Yuteshwar. And I didn't know this at the time. I had no idea who he was. He was actually Yogananda's guru. And I didn't even know who Yogananda was at the time.
I don't even know who that is either. Who is that?
Well, if you've ever read the book Autobiography of a Yogi, he wrote that. He was a Swami and a guru, a real spiritual leader on earth. He's since passed. He passed back in, I think it was 1952, he passed from this plane. And of course, I didn't have background in I didn't have background in
yogi?
Hindu or yogis or, you know, anything like that. I didn't know anything about that. I never researched that.
You would be both. So, I don't know. I thought Yogi was a cartoon about Yogi Bear.
Right. And Boo Boo, too.
I wonder if that's where they came up with the Boo Boo term. Mommy, I have a Boo Boo.
It kind of rhymes with guru, doesn't it?
Guru, meet Boo Boo. Who's he? Yogi? Huh? What?
Right. Yeah, well, Yogananda was a huge influence in consciousness and love, which is what the show is really about, is love. And this is actually part of the story of my first meeting with my guide, Sri Yukteswar. As I said, I didn't know who he was. I had never heard of him before on this plane. I saw a picture of him on my computer screen, and it stopped me. Yeah, it stopped me because as soon as I saw his picture, I started to have memory flashes. It was like remembering somebody out of childhood. All of a sudden, I wasn't even seeing his picture on the screen. It was more like I was seeing this picture of him, but I was also remembering him at the same time at different angles and doing different things and different expressions on his face. And it was just like remembering somebody from childhood, and I couldn't remember. How did I know him? I know
like
that
he
I know
alive
him.
On
how
your
do
screen.
I? Well, that's what happened, because as soon as I spoke out loud and I asked the picture itself, I said, "How do I know you?" And all of a sudden, the picture started to talk to me.
Now, folks, we all do that. We all look at our computer screen and talk to it. Now, some of us don't use nice language. What the hell's wrong with my computer? They'll sit there and scream at it. She's not screaming at it. She's looking at a picture saying, "Where do I know you from?" Now, nobody's around. Keep in mind.
Right,
so
that's right. That's right. Yeah, I looked at the picture screen. I looked at the picture on the screen, and I asked, "How do I know you?" Well, all of a sudden, the picture started to talk back. And it only said one word. He said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your wife?" And he said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your child?" And he said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your pet?" And he said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your sibling?" And he said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your student?" And he said, "Love." And I said, "Was I your teacher?" And then he didn't say anything, but all of a sudden he literally reached out with his hand. His hand reached out of the computer screen and touched me on my heart.
Oh, my God.
And he looked me in the eyes and he said, "We will speak again at the time of your choosing." And then all of a sudden, he was just a picture on my screen again. And I thought I hallucinated the whole thing. I thought I must have just had a hallucination.
Right,
except
right.
that... Well, where he had reached out of the computer screen and touched me on the heart, I actually developed a boil there. And on the back side of my heart, you know, on my back, which is, you know, where you would say the back of the heart chakra, I actually got a big rash. And right after that, I came down with bronchitis and pneumonia. And
whoa, that wasn't very nice.
Well, it was working out something... There was another situation that cropped up at the same time having to do with a very old and deep wound, a family matter that came to the surface at that time that was a wound around the heart. And it
oh,
came
so
up
he actually was helping you heal.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Well, I happened to tell a friend of mine who lives on an ashram about the entire
incident.
Okay,
what's an ashram?
You know, it's probably better to look it up because I'm still rather ignorant about these things.
All right, you keep talking. I'm going to look up ashram right now on the computer.
It's like a community. Chatting. Yeah, it's like a community, and there's a guru who comes and visits, and they do all sorts of service at the ashram, and it's all about spirituality and community living, and I really don't know much more about it than that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's a community.
Well, actually, you know what? Actually, before I told my friend about the incident, there was 2 days after this event where I was introduced to my guide on the computer screen. I was in meditation. I was actually in meditation, and it was 2 days after the initial event, and he came to me again while I was in meditation, and he brought with him another guy that I didn't recognize, and the other guy had like this kind of round face. And he just was kind of grinning at me the whole time, and he never said a word. He never said a word. And, of course, the first guy, the guide guy, who
yeah.
it turned out to be Yukteswar, didn't think
okay.
to introduce me because apparently I know this other guy in another realm that I just don't remember.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, Yukteswar began to talk to me about some things having to do with personal things for me to look into and begin to learn about. And the other guy just stood there grinning at me the whole time without a word.
I think, what was the name of that thing? How rude.
No, he wasn't rude. I actually felt incredibly honored. I felt so honored.
Wow.
I mean, there was something about his presence that was just enormously beautiful. And I just, there was intense joy in seeing him. And so it was right after that. That was when I got in touch with my friend who lives on the ashram, and I told him about the whole thing, and I described the guys, and he knew who they were. And he sent me pictures back and said, "Are these the guys that came to you?" And I looked at the pictures, and I was like, "Yeah, that's them, that's them, that's them. Oh, my gosh, who are they?" And... And so he told me that the first one was Sri Yukteswar, and the other one who stood there and grinned at me the whole time without saying a word was actually Sri Yukteswar's guru, Lahiri Mahasaya.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just
hell
kind
of
like,
name.
Wow. So he, well, all of a sudden, a few days later, I get this book, and it appears on my doorstep, and I open it up, and it's Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi. It turns out my friend on the ashram ordered and sent it to me. But from my perspective, without knowing that, it very much appeared like a
magic.
Book materializing on my doorstep.
Oh, my God.
And so
freaky.
Yeah, so I picked it up and I started reading. And at one point, it was just incredibly amazing because I'm reading along, I'm reading Yogananda's story, and I'm reading about where he first learned of Lahiri Mahasaya, and I'm going,
mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, okay. And then I get to the part where he's describing his first meeting with his teacher, Yukteswar, And I get to the part where I'm reading about where Yukteswar actually reached out and touched mm-hmm. Yogananda on the chest, right on the heart chakra. And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't make it up. I mean, you know, I said the boil and the subsequent scar aren't proof enough that I didn't just hallucinate it, but that he actually did that. He did that to Yogananda. And as the result of Yukteswar reaching out and touching Yogananda on the heart, Yogananda actually had an omnipresent experience as a result of that particular interchange. And so, I get to the part where Yogananda describes the first time the ceiling opened up and he saw the sky, and I was like, oh my gosh, that happened to me.
Oh, just like your book. Just like your book.
Yeah, where my book starts out was that particular experience that I had. And
okay, so that's how you met.
That's how we met.
Wow.
I wish that I was imaginative and creative enough to make this stuff up, because, man, I could write one heck of a book. But this stuff just goes beyond anything that I would have ever thought to fabricate.
Speaking of making things up, we're actually going to now kind of transition the subject a little bit. Now, you mentioned before the radio show what you wanted to talk about. First was about your meeting for your guide, which we've done. Now, we wanted to talk about your energy transmissions real quick and what you do, and then did you want to move into discussion about the femininity issues?
Yes. Not only femininity, but masculinity as well, because this is a big, big, big part of love, and that was really the message that Yukteswar gave me when we met, was that I'm here, and it's all about love. That's
all
really
right, so
what
it's
about.
Let's jump into what you do for people so that they know that if they sign up with you for your energy transmissions and that type of thing, and just give them a little talk about that.
Well, I have a service that I offer, and it's called the Energetic Mastery Energy Transmissions, and it's available either on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis, whichever you choose, however often you feel like you would like this particular transmission. It takes about 15 minutes to complete, and it's basically you get a notification letting you know, reminding you when to sit and be present and to receive it. And, of course, part of it integrates during the transmission. The rest of it integrates afterwards, like when you sleep. And so it's done at night at my time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, depending on what your time zone is,
it still integrates out in
your sleep. It works out. And what it is basically I am intending for spirit to come through. And the intent is that my ego is out of the way, that this comes through, it's completely raw, unfiltered, none of my own filters. There is no conscious intent on my part other than that, other than for spirit to come through, for love to come through, and go wherever love knows to go. I do not consciously direct this. I do not consciously know what is highest and best for each person. Love heals. Love
mm-hmm.
heals.
Mm-hmm.
God heals. Source heals. Spirit heals. I am not the healer. I am simply the catalyst. I am simply facilitating this. And so.
Okay. So I got a question for you. If they want to get a hold of this, how do they do it?
Well, you can go to my website.
Right.
Yes, you can go to my website, energetic-mastery.com/services, and it's the first service you see listed. It's incredibly, incredibly affordable, and it's this way for a reason, and it's because it's a small expression of appreciation being requested to
mm-hmm.
be included to receive what is really actually priceless. It's if you want to do this on a monthly basis, the requested exchange is $5 for the entire month. If you want to do this on a weekly basis, the requested exchange is $15 for a month. And so it's incredibly affordable for everybody. And the reason is because I can't really charge for this. I just love extends regardless of anything that I think or say or do. Love extends. And
okay.
Everybody deserves to feel love. Everybody deserves. Everybody is worthy. Everybody is.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what income a person has. We're all worthy.
So here's a question for you. But I'm going to answer the question. Okay? You ready for this?
Yeah.
You're like, uh-oh. The question is, why should I pay for that? What in the world are you doing that you cause the rest of these people out here who give you their hard-earned money of $5? That's the question. Now, I'll answer that question. Why should I use you? Why? What have you got? The answer is you have got – now, you used a word in here just a few minutes ago, which I think actually probably wasn't the best word. You are not – your job is not the intent. Your job is actually to let something happen that is supposed to happen through you. You are the tool for this particular item. There are a few others out there that have that ability, but not many. You are one of those people that somehow, in some metaphysical way, has a direct link to God for him to be able to come through with his love. And your spirituality level is so high because of that ability that he can do it, and it is unfiltered. There is no ego with you when you do this. There is no intent. There is only, it's time to let me be the vessel. It comes through you, through your heart, and out to the world. So if people want to know why, that's why. It's because you are the person who is the correct person for the job. Nobody else is really that position. Most people are not spiritually as in tune as you are. They're like me. They're a pain in the ass in dealing with life on a daily basis. I know I'm a pain in the ass.
No, you're not.
So the point is that what happens? Well, gee whiz, for $5, anxiety levels get dealt with. You calm down. You feel a healing happening because it is directly from God. I mean, let's see. Should I go to the doctor for the anxiety medication that he might give me tomorrow, or should I pay $5 for 1 week where she sits there and transmits things that I know are what I really need? The faith to calm down, to believe in myself, to believe in love that I deserve. You tell me, which one makes more sense to you, Patricia?
Do I need to think about that one? Yeah, give me love, please.
I mean, seriously, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. And the other thing is, it's about the ego. It's about letting go of the fears. Science is there. Hey, great. But where did science originate from? Well, it originated from people. And where did people come from? Anybody following my chain here? You know? Sorry, folks. The truth is the truth, and that's what's so darn scary, but that's why Patricia Reed is here. She has found the truth, and she is sending it out to you. Boom.
Yes, the truth is that the truth is already in your heart. You already know the truth. That is the truth. I'm here to remind you how to remember. That's all. That's all, and that's what the transmissions are for. For love to come through, anywhere there's a crack in the ego, anywhere there is an opening, that love may dissolve and disintegrate the barriers around the heart so that the heart may heal, so that you may be reminded how to access the truth that you already possess in your own heart.
Now, speaking of hearts, there is two different versions, the male and the female. And this is the meat of the conversation that we wanted to talk about before. Yes?
Yes. Yes, this is where there is huge trauma, huge, huge wounds to be healed between the man and the woman, between the male energy and the female energy. This is, there was a major separation that took place, not only between us and God as we perceive it, as we believe it, but also between the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And this is what makes relationships, love relationships, so very difficult for so many of us. This is why women so often are afraid to let go and surrender and allow herself to even feel pleasure sexually from a man. To reach even a state of orgasm is so difficult for so many women. And it all goes to the underlying core issue, which is the belief in separation, the huge traumatic pain of separation between the male and the female, the distrust on both levels, on both the male and the female, huge distrust. And it all goes to the original pain of separation trauma that we all collectively believe in, the separation from source, which looks like it's real, it feels like it's real, but it's really not. Just as there is no real separation between us and God, there also is no real separation between the male and the female. But beliefs are what make our reality. Beliefs are what we filter through to make up an outer reality that we actually believe in, and we stay in a loop. We stay in a loop of making up the same thing over and over and over again because we think that life is what we have experienced it to be before. And when you go down layer after layer after layer and you get down to the very root of it all, these beliefs are so ingrained in us that we actually live out this pain and we replicate it in every area of our lives over and over and over again. And why do that? Why continue to do that? Because we don't know any better. Well, you know what? You do know better, you just don't remember. And that's why I'm here, to remind you of the truth in your heart. There is no separation, there is no trauma. We feel it, we experience it, but we don't have to keep living it.
Well, now you brought up a very good point, a very good point, and I think this is something that people should probably really think about. Trauma, mental trauma, reliving it. Not only reliving it, but it becomes a comfort zone. And you mentioned something before, which I think is very, very critical about this. Making love. Okay. You're out of a relationship. You just broke up. Now you're free. Let's say you're a woman. You're free to go out there into the world and look around. Your sense of freedom makes you feel empowered. I can do whatever I want. I'm no longer bound to this relationship. I am bound to the taxes I still have to pay. I am bound to the money that I need to make in order to be able to keep the lifestyle that I'm used to. And I have friends around here, so I don't really want to move. But the idea of that freedom is there. You feel empowered beyond normal. It's almost as if you're free from bondage. Now, it's time to go out and find another guy. Go ahead. I could hear you taking your breath. Go ahead and say what you want to say.
Well, what you just expressed there is actually the male energy. That is the core of the male energy, the freedom felt from separation. And even females, every man has a touch of the feminine energy in him, just like every woman has a touch of the masculine energy. And so that empowerment from freedom from bondage, that's actually tapping into the male energy, and it has to do with the original belief in separation between male and female. And the story is originally, and it's deeply ingrained into every single one of us, that it was the male part of the energy the male part of the entire entity of one, which was male, female, as one together. And it was the male energy that wished to explore himself, to know himself fully, and where it was the female energy that did not have any need or wish or desire to know more than she already knew, which was infinite. There was no need to explore.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to explore fully, and he felt constrained and suppressed by the feminine energy because she had no wish to go explore. And
ah.
So, right. And so it was the male energy that wished to know himself and couldn't wait around for the feminine to come around here, and so he began to separate from her.
Okay. So then we move on to the next part, which is, wow, this is pretty awesome, actually, the way we're doing this. Once she has realized, the female in her physical form has realized that this freedom is permitted and has now been given to her because of her own actions or the other person's actions, which were one cause of separation, they now have the opportunity to explore different areas of that freedom, and they have the choice of those ideas. Do they do activities? Do they meet other people? Do they focus more on their job? Do they focus on a hobby? Do they sit at home and choose to feel sorry for themselves for a little while? It all depends. But the other option is sexuality does begin to come in, because now this is one of those items that our bodies does crave. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It's a biological necessity that we try to fulfill this. There are people out there who don't care for sex at all, but I'd really question, when they don't care for the sex, what happened to them? Because
this is the reliving of the trauma. This is the reliving of the trauma. Absolutely. Sex is not only a biological function and necessity. It's not only a means for procreation, as we've all been programmed to believe by, you know, the church way back when, and even now, and society. It's not some dirty, rotten thing. Sexuality is actually divine. It is as holy as it gets. It is sacred. This is a very spiritual experience. This is the deep, deep longing of the male and the female to come together and rejoin as one to heal the wounds. But yet each side remains afraid of the other because of the distrust involved. The male is terrified that the female is going to consume him, and he's going to lose his identity. He's going to lose his ability to explore himself and to be free. And the female is terrified that he's going to abandon her again.
You know where else that does apply to? That applies to masturbation. Women, including men, but I think more so women sometimes, have been taught that masturbation is a bad thing. Don't do that. Sex is okay with a male or a female in a quiet room, but to just talk about it, that's taboo.
Right.
To do it? Oh, my God, that's a sin in some people's minds. Sorry, that's baloney.
Right, and what you need to realize, too, what people need to realize is, you know, orgasm is something that is actually very healthy for the body. You know, and you don't always have to choose to have one. You can channel that energy elsewhere into your energy bodies, and that's great. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. However, when you do have an orgasm, you actually produce hormones in your body, vasopressin, oxytocin. These are the same hormones that your body releases in response to success. You know, you finish a project and all of a sudden your body's releasing these hormones and you feel great. You make some money, you make a big sale, or, you know, whatever it is that is a success for you, your body releases these particular hormones that allow for well-being, and our purpose here is to be in our greatest state of being, which is love, joy,
exactly,
peace. And these hormones are a way for us to get into that well-being. Now, there's a difference between being addicted, you know, there is, you don't want to, you know, constantly rely on, you need this to feel good.
Hey, boss,
however,
yeah, I need to go in the back room. Again?
But we can't be afraid of feeling good. And that's where also this whole fear comes in, the fear of love itself, the fear of being consumed, the fear
and
of being abandoned. This is why we resist love.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, the next thing is, let's say that female, because we're sticking with the female in this particular conversation, decides, okay, I've spent some time at home, I've given myself some pleasure, I've maybe even watched some pornographic films just to branch out and be a little interesting and different, just to be exciting. And I feel a sense of myself coming back, who I was possibly before this issue came up of separation. Whatever they're doing, they're starting to develop their hobbies again. They're starting to develop their desires to look at other people, men or female, mostly what we're referring to men here. They are looking at them going, okay, he's a cute guy. And their thought is, interesting. And it begins to build, as you said. The spirituality of yourself begins to become more of who you are and more about love and appreciation for yourself. That's where the problem is. Now you have to look at this and say, can I give myself to this man that I'm looking at and allow him to come to me and have sex together? Will that separation issue come up? Will I be consumed, or will I be able to walk away and not have that guilt come back? What do you think?
This all goes to the issue of your own feelings about yourself, your own level of self-love. How much work have you done on yourself? How much time have you spent really getting into your own heart, getting to know yourself and love yourself as an individual, as your own soul? How secure are you in yourself that you are then ready and able to give yourself fully and completely to another, or to accept him? This is where, you know, maybe it's you want to get out of a relationship and jump into the sag with somebody, and that's fine, all right, if you're just going to enjoy the physical pleasure. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if you're talking about getting into a relationship, you have to understand that things are going to come up and surface for you from your own being, from his being. And these things are going to look like problems. They're going to look like conflict. And if you are not completely committed to your own well-being and to loving yourself, and when you love yourself, you can then truly love another, because then you're coming from a place of real love and real compassion. And, you know, what are your boundaries? What are you willing to put up with? What are you willing to deal with? And that's up to you. But when you are in a state of love yourself, when you are love, you don't perceive the barriers. You might recognize, you know, he's put up a wall. He's put up a wall because he's processing something. There's something surfacing for him that goes to this old wound having to do with separation, belief in separation from God, and belief in separation from the feminine. And he is feeling some pain here. And so am I going to contract because of my own fear of he's going to abandon me? Or am I going to recognize that love expands? The nature of love is expansive. And so,
and as you said, love heals.
Love heals. That's all love does, is it heals.
So let's say... Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, the rest of the thought here is about love being expansive. when you feel him as a woman and you feel him contracting, recognize that this is a deep and desperate cry for love. Whatever is not an act of love is a cry for love. And the answer is more love. You give more love. How do you give more love? Sometimes it's recognizing his need for space. Sometimes it's recognizing that that deep male psyche is saying, oh my God, I'm going to be consumed. Ah! And you're going to feel like you're being rejected and abandoned. But don't. Understand that this is what's going on in the male psyche. And if you love him enough, then you're going to recognize the answer is more love. And so maybe you give him some space, but you continue to hold space for him in your heart.
Now, see, the thing
is,
you have to keep in mind one thing, and this is what we were talking about before. When it comes to the sexuality, there is a certain amount of fear that is involved with the abandonment issue. But loving, 100% love, also means that you have accepted who you are. And if you've accepted who you are, then you are not going to be the jealous person that's going to look at your look at him and go, why are you pulling away? You know, come here. I want to talk. Sit your butt down right now. Come on. We're talking.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. You have to. You will find that your security about yourself because of your love will say, something's wrong. Go down to the beach. Take a walk. You want me to head over to my mom's for a couple of days? Chill out with her? That'd be cool. And all of a sudden, the male says, oh, well, that'd be kind of cool. All right. Like, I'll head down to the beach and grab a couple of brewskis. Did I just say brewskis? Oh, my God. You know, let him go. Let him hang out with his male friends. And because of your security and now his freedom that you've given him, he's no longer insecure. He's now becoming secure. He needs to relearn something about himself. And
right.
You can only help him by loving him, by giving him that distance. Now, there are times where you're going to turn around and you're going to say, I know what you're going to go do, and you ain't doing that. No way. I know who you're going to go see, then there's a real issue that you need to get some help.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, too, we model energy for each other. That's what we do. We don't force somebody to transform and change. That's not love. That's condition. You know, the ego
exactly.
puts conditions on love. Love is being love. And in being love, you model that for everyone around you. And whatever part of them is open and ready to remember that they are also love will open up in time. And all the deep wounds will then be able to come up to the surface to be processed and released. And that's why I'm here, too. You know, I'm here to help people to process those feelings and those beliefs. Those thoughts that come up that hurt so bad, that reliving of all the trauma, I'm here to help with that. So, yeah, it's something when you are secure in yourself, when you are love and you know it through and through, that's simply what you are.
Now, to continue on the end of the story, because I'm sure people are dying to hear what happens to this woman after she separated. I fictitiously created.
Oh, right.
So let's say now this woman has finally met somebody else and she desires him. He's successful as far as keeping himself fed. He keeps himself housed. He has a nice car. He's clean. He's competent.
Ooh, clean.
He's intelligent and he's romantic. And he cares about not just her, but himself. He's comfortable within his own skin. He knows himself, and he knows what he wants out of life, but it's not about arrogance or ego. It's about identification of he has learned his faults. He knows what works for him and what doesn't work. And here is this woman who sees these same things within herself and within him. So there is a connection. So all of a sudden, one night, they get together and they are going to bond. They are going to have sex for the first time. And in this situation, as you said, if you acknowledge all of these things within yourself and you learn to love who you are by loving your imperfections, the male and female issues that can be contractions or expansions, the next thing you know, you're in bed with this man, that this woman is in bed with this man, and they make love, and it's real. And she reaches the point of release because she knows he is real for her and she is real for him. And the bonding is so spiritually powerful that they almost reach orgasm together because it is so pure. And afterwards, there's love. That's, I guess that would be the ending.
Yeah. There's love during. There is the release of the distrust, the dissolution of the barriers between the male and the female. The female saying, "I recognize that I have this deep, deep, deep core fear within the feminine energy that my body holds, that I embody." Of abandonment, but I know that's not real, and I know that I cannot be abandoned. I know that I never really was abandoned, and I love myself unconditionally, and therefore I am able to extend this love to you unconditionally, and I am going to allow myself to be vulnerable, to let down these walls and be naked before you in every way, and just give myself to this love without fear. And the male says, I recognize deep down my core essence contains this fear that you're going to consume me and I'm going to lose myself in you and I'm going to just be completely overwhelmed by this love and lose all sense of my own identity. But I know that that's not really true. And so I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable to you and know that I am safe and protected always. I love myself and I know myself. I know who I am. And I know that I am even more powerful with you. And so I am going to let down these walls and trust and know that it's okay to be one without losing myself.
And that's where you have what making love, if you'll forgive the twist on the word there, making love is all about.
Exactly. And the physical union is the symbol. This is where we ground in our bodies and we bring all of our energy bodies together here and now in one place and make it so. We literally become one. And it's so healing. There's such a powerful healing that takes place in this event. And the power that you feel, the power that we feel in this event and after, there is a divine awakening that does take place, a healing that cannot happen on any other level. So, yes, I'm saying work on yourselves. Get to know yourself. Get to love yourself. And then understand the whole nature of the male-female relationship and the bonding, and bring it together. Bring it together.
Well, Patricia Reed, I'm sure that a few jaws have dropped. A few people out there have, at this particular point, said, oh.
Yes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to feel pleasure. Don't be afraid to let down your guard and be vulnerable. This is the other half of your power is waiting for you.
And also,
seriously,
folks, remember that the wisdom that you have heard today on this radio show, and for those archived listeners that are going to be listening in, this is Patricia Reed, R-E-E-D. Her website is www.energetic-mastery.com. And she has a book that is for sale. And if you think this conversation was good, imagine what the book must be like. And the book is called The Space Between. You can pick that up on her website, or you can go through Amazon.com to pick up The Space Between by Patricia Reed. Patricia Reed, thank you so much for having such a delightful conversation with me. And it has been eye-opening, absolutely, and breathtaking. And thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. On that note, we're going to play a little bit more of the song by Enya called A Maritime, which is about love. And that will be our fade out. So you're welcome to, you want me to just put you on mute, or you want to hang up now, Patricia? What do you want to do?
Oh, I love this song. I'm going to listen.
Okay. I'll go ahead and put you on mute. And folks, once again, check us out at thepsychicroundtable.org. And also, if you want to get listed as a psychic or a medium, you can get listed on internationalpsychics.org as well. All right, Patricia, thank you so much.
Thank you.